Greetings to each one of you this morning. It is a joy to be here gathered together this morning. Thank you for my family coming up and sharing in song here this morning. I get just a little bit of a picture of how God feels about the family of God and the bride of Christ. He has a special place in his heart for you this morning if you're part of the bride of Christ, if you are of the church of Jesus Christ. Just like when my family came up here and sang this morning, you know, there's just something within me that was just, you know, enjoying their presence, enjoying the praise from their lips. enjoying the dedication in their walk with Jesus. And that's how God feels about you and I this morning as we come here in a corporate way to serve Jesus Christ and to worship Him this morning. You know, the one song they sang, you know, is that wedding music. You know, if you look at the context of that song, it's speaking about that wedding in the air. There's going to be a wedding in the air. The one line says, there's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Isn't that wedding music that I hear? It's the ceremony in the air that our brother referred to in Revelation chapter 19. And so that just blessed my soul this morning. And then Brother Daniel, Sister Bonnie, this morning. You know, life doesn't always turn out. Life has a lot of bumps, and it has a lot of things that we wish were different. But the good news is that we can change those things that we don't like, those things that are sinful. We can change them and come before the Lord and just have a new beginning, a new start. And so I just rejoice in this opportunity to get together here this morning. You know, I know that I was just thinking of reconciliation this morning. I was thinking of, you know, in order for there to be a beautiful marriage, there needs to be a reconciliation in the heart with Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just a few verses there that just blessed me as I thought of that this morning. It says in verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." You know, reconciliation is a beautiful, beautiful term this morning that God wants to reinstate. He wants to reconcile us back to Him. When Adam fell in the garden, you know, sin came. Sin was, you know, humanity fell from sin. But God, Jesus Christ, came to reconcile us. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." There won't be any oneness in marriage unless we have been reconciled to God. Back to our Creator. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Hallelujah for that this morning. So my question is, have you made your reservation? Will you be in that wedding in the air? In Matthew, I believe it was Matthew chapter 20. Just to give us a little picture. Actually, I think it was Luke chapter 20. Just to get a little picture of that wedding in the air that song was telling us about, I had to think of marriage. Marriage is a beautiful type of Christ in the church. It's a beautiful example, a beautiful type and shadow. And then Jesus said these words one day when he was being questioned in Luke 20, verse 34. Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain the world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. So Jesus was saying there won't be any marriage in heaven. And for some people, that is not a consolation. But I believe that the answer is this. You know, we're talking about two different ages. We're talking about that the earthly. Today, you know, marriage is for the earth. It's earthly. And there's another age in glory. And as beautiful as marriage is, it's a wonderful thing. But yet, we our eyes can't see that next age and how beautiful that will be. And so we don't understand that this morning, but we just believe it. We believe the Word of God. And then he just telling us that, you know, there won't be marriage in heaven. And so just trust God's heart for us. And it says, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. And are the children of God being children of the resurrection. So that's a blessing this morning to consider. Maybe we could turn back to Luke chapter 15 and we could all rise and I'll have a word of prayer. Lord, as we have met here today, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood that was shed, for the remission of sins. I thank you for heaven and earth this morning. I thank you for everyone that's here this morning. I thank you for Daniel and Bonnie. I thank you for the prayers that have been uttered. We believe you've answered, Lord, and are coming to pass with them being reunited and recommitted today, Lord. We don't always see how these things all come to pass, but you do, Lord. And you have a great and a marvelous plan for every soul in this room. And we just ask that you would continue to reveal it through your word today. Oh, Lord, your word is precious. It is such a precious gem. I pray, Lord, that it would become more precious to my own heart here today as we search your word. I just thank you for that time together here this morning, the singing of praises, and this worship time, Lord. I just pray now that as we look into your word, that you would speak, and that you would have your way in each heart here today. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance and riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And when he would have fain, having filled his belly with husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, look at the father heart here. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked, what these things mean? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said unto his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with the harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother, he was dead, and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This morning, just the father heart here that we see in this parable of the lost son, something that was lost. That son, he went out into the world. He filled his stomach with corn husk, and he was perishing. And God came to his heart and said, just repent. Just go back and repent and do the right thing, and I will bless you. And he came to himself, it says, and he understood, yeah, that's right. What I thought was going to be fun, what I thought was going to be a good time, ended up being starvation, famine, just destruction. And now he went back, and just look at this father heart here in verse 20. His father came, and he was a great way off. He was looking, I believe daily, he was scanning the horizon. Where's my son? The one I raised to live a righteous life. He's gone. He's living in the world. Where is he? I'm praying for him. He kept looking out into the horizon. Where is he? And through prayer, I believe, you know, he came back. He was dead, but now he's found. And he killed the fatted calf. You know, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he embraced him as a son and just helped him to find his way back. So there was two sons here this morning. It's worth noting. And I believe at the end here, at the end of the day, the second son that had did many things right, he also needed to repent. He needed to come back and rejoice with those who come to Jesus. And so this is a beautiful example this morning of, as I think of Daniel and Bonnie, I know we prayed for many years. And I didn't meet Bonnie until this year sometime. But it's a blessing to see God answer prayer and to work this out. And I'm prayerful, and I have faith going forward that God is going to do great things for you. Just stay under the fountain. You know, you got to just stay close to the fountain of God. When we drift away from that fountain, it gets cold and it gets dark. I was thinking of marriage this morning. Beautiful day yesterday, and burn there. It's not often we have two marriage messages 2 days in a row, but maybe I trust God knew we needed it. So. You know, marriage is more than a contract or an agreement between two people. It's a covenant. It's a vow, a promise. It's between a man, a woman, and God. It's a three-part, which makes it a covenant or a vow. And I found this to be interesting. We think of the states, this country we live in, how much of the laws are being just, you know, swept away. But Arizona, Arkansas, and Louisiana, they all have a term. It's called a covenant marriage. Like when you go to the courthouse, it's called a covenant marriage, which basically means that you need to agree, if you're in that state and get a marriage license, you need to agree that you will, agree to premarital counseling and then limited grounds for later seeking divorce. I thought that was noteworthy, and I pray that that doesn't change. And so we know marriage is a beautiful thing. It's symbolic of Christ and the church. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says that the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. And so it's a beautiful thing to consider. Luke 16:18 says, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." So it's very clear there, the Word of God. You know, I didn't make this book, and I didn't write this book. But I have a choice this morning to believe the words that God gave me. And so I want to do that by His grace this morning. This morning I want to say also that I believe biblical marriage is under attack. It's under attack like never before. And you know, Satan, he began this attack back in Genesis chapter 3. If you want to turn your Bible there just for a minute, there's a few verses there that I'd like to read, verse 1 to 5. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" Hear that question in there? Yea, hath God said? Did he really mean it? "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil." You know, there was some truth in there, but yet it was a lie. It was a full-blown lie. And this woman knew better, but yet through the subtlety of Satan, she was deceived, I believe, this morning. And thus the whole human race fell into sin. So God's word is true. God's word is very true this morning, and we can only accept the truth. And then that truth will make us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, the Bible says. Now, how is he attacking your marriage this morning? Maybe we could ask that question. And each one of us, you know, if we sat down together, we could probably share some things that we have had to deal with in our marriage. And I believe that's God's heart, that we acknowledge and we work at those things and work them out. So this morning, in 1 Corinthians 11, there's a couple verses there that I would like to share. And you know, one of them is headship order. I believe that's at the top. And often the enemy will come at that one and say, I need to somehow lower that one and get rid of it because I know the strength that's behind it. Because it's God's word. It says here in 1 Corinthians 11, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So what happens when the headship order is out of order? You know, I believe that's the beginning of failure. I thought of this term. You know, it's a medical term, but it kind of gives a little bit of a picture. You know, when these things are out of order, you begin to build scar tissue in your marriage. There's little, you know, it doesn't function right anymore. There's the joint is just, you know, it's kind of seized up. It, you know, when you get scar tissue in your thumb or in your ankle, it kind of inflammation forms and it kind of, you know, it don't work well. It doesn't work right. And then before long, you're making a trip to the doctor or you're grabbing the Tylenol bottle or something like that. And so it's just kind of a downward spiral, you could say, this morning. So I brought this scissors here for an example this morning. It's probably a funny looking illustration here for us all to consider this morning. But I'm going to say this is like a marriage. And this pin that's in the center there, that's the covenant. So these two, you know, this marriage, let's just take Daniel and Bonnie, you're married. And you have this covenant right here in the middle. This is God and then, of course, Daniel and Bonnie. So often what we do, you know, this scissors is very capable of doing many things, a very handy little gadget. But if you walk around with this scissors in this motion and just walk around, yeah, it's a nice scissors, but I have some paper here that I'm going to need to cut. But, you know, unless things come together, it ain't going to cut no paper. It's just they're apart. See how far apart the points are? There's no strength in there. Yeah, the covenant's still in place. God put it there. It can't be moved. But yet these two individuals are far apart. They're just walking around and they're developing scar tissue and they're just, things aren't functioning well. But when they start coming together, you know, Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you bring this scissors, look at the strength, you know, like this. Look at that. It's sharp and it's cutting. And it's building the family. It's building the church of Jesus Christ. There's strength in the marriage. The marriage is, it's going well. But when this scissors is out like this, you know, you can put it close to put the paper in there and nothing happens. It's just seized up, far apart. You know, there's no communication. You know, it says the woman is a weaker vessel. She's usually a little bit smaller, and the man's a little bit bigger. But, you know, when they're far apart, they're not complementing each other. Good things aren't happening. You know, Colossians 2:12 talks about the operation of God. When a marriage is functioning, there's an operation of God that produces a godly seed, godly children, and then godly evangelism, going out and sharing Christ with the lost. So that just blessed me as I thought of that this morning, that, you know, let's function together. Let's be together and use the cutting edge of God's word to make a beautiful and godly family. Brother Daniel, picture with me a warm July afternoon. Bonnie is outside and she's cleaning the sidewalks. And you're feeling good feelings toward Bonnie. You know, you're thinking that she's washing the steps and she's cleaning the house and you're having good vibes. You're feeling good about her. And she has the hose, and she's squirting down the water and cleaning the walks. And you have this idea of how you could, just have a little fun. So you get a little squirt gun, and you stand off a distance, and all of a sudden, squirt, and she's, you know, like this. And you squirt a little bit on her back or whatever. And, you know, hopefully she would turn around and smile, and you would run over to her, and you guys would, you know, just have some playful fun. Just enjoy life together. But what happens many times is there's irritation builds up. And I want to get to that a little bit later. But there's irritation that comes. And then when some things like that happen, you know, there's just frustration comes out. And then you're offended because you thought it was going to be a fun little thing you did together, and it turned out to be a little squabble. But I had to think of that, and, you know, this week I thought of this that I never thought of before regarding marriage and things that we face. There's a verse in Ephesians 5:28 that talks about men loving their wives. Talks about a man loving his wife. It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, he loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even the Lord, even as the Lord the church." So I had to think of that. So if we have this mindset that, okay, Bonnie, you know, after today, you know, for legal purposes, you're going to, you know, do a recommittal here. We believe God, you know, recognized your marriage all along. But anyway, as you come together, you know, and Bonnie does something that frustrates you. You know, you can think of, for instance, like if you're at work and you're walking around out in Marvin's trust shop and all of a sudden you stub your toe on a big piece of wood. You know, you don't get mad at yourself, do you? You're like, yeah, you wish you wouldn't have done it, but you never begin to, you know, beat yourself or a rail on yourself or whatever it might be. So when your spouse sends a flood of reproaches your way, just remember, she's part of you. She's part of you. And what you do, you know, just accept that. And that's been a blessing as I've considered that this morning. You know, if I have a hammer and all of a sudden I have good intentions, I have this nail and I'm going to put a nail into this tube before, and I hit my finger and I, ouch, you know, that hurt. You know, I can only blame myself because that was part of me. That was my hand. And that's how it is in marriage. When your wife or husband or Bonnie, when Daniel does something that's maybe irritating, remember it was part of you that did that. And that can help to just be a quick forgiver. You know, just go on. And most of you have heard the term kill two birds with one stone, or a slingshot. You know, if you get, you know, little boys sometimes will practice in that way. They'll try to kill two birds with one shot. And, you know, the enemy of our soul, Satan, he tries to do that as well. He's very conniving. And, you know, his plan might be something like this. If I destroy a godly marriage, this will then destroy a godly home and a family, and then it will destroy the church. So if I can get the marriage first, then I have the other two. They're already in line. It's all in one shot, one fluid shot. I can do all three. So first, I got to get the marriage, though. I got to get that. And is it any wonder that marriage is under such attack today in our world? God knows what his intent was for it. You know, it can't be compromised. Let's think about this verse, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal. He wants to steal your marriage and to kill it and to destroy it. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So that is a blessing to consider this morning. That is God's will for your life. God's will for everyone in this room is that your marriage would prosper. And that your family would just blossom, go forward. So just remember that you know, there's someone, you know, he has a plan, and that's to kill two birds with one stone. Ephesians 6:11 talks about the wiles of the devil, the schemes of him. And how do we, you know, do battle to that? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the well-laid plans of the enemy. Put on the armor of God. It's faith. Faith in His Word. It's following His precepts. You know, we don't grab the Bible, look at it and say, well, I really like that page, but this next one, I'm afraid I'm going to have to tear it out because, you know, it just doesn't fit my life. You know, we can't do that. We have to take the entire message from God and believe it. Is it hard? Yes, very. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible, but it's difficult at times. You know, there's the bride's adorned and ready to appear. Jesus says, you know, that bride, He's coming back for His bride. So I just thought of a few lies that we believe about our spouses. Most people here in here are married. But there are some here that are not married, and there's some young people here. So, you know, we know these things are very true. You know, I believe marriage is very practical in a lot of ways. I believe courtship's very practical. Lies we believe about our spouse while under attack. Number one, he or she doesn't love me like she used to. Or he doesn't love me like he used to. And besides that, I'm missing out. That is a lie that the enemy will bring when your marriage is under attack. Or you have a low grade of irritation with your spouse most of the time. You know, it just takes a small thing and you're irritated. Number three, my husband or my wife, she can't meet my needs. She can't do what I need her to do. It's just not working. That's a lie from the enemy. I often encourage hurting couples who are, everything's on the rocks. If you could sit down and study 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 through 6, that would be a good place to start. And then after you get done with that chapter, read 1 Corinthians 11. If you would study those, if a hurting and a dysfunctional marriage would study those two passages and apply them and have an open and honest heart, I believe God would work miracles. Number four, you blame your spouse for every conflict, problem, or issue. And yet, and at the same time, thinking in the back of your mind, I didn't sign up for this. I don't deserve this. That blame game that started back in Genesis chapter 3, it's still alive and well if we allow the enemy to use it. Instead, we could embrace that chisel in God's hand. He has a chisel on my life. Oh, it hurts. It's painful. I just want to squirm away from it. But just embrace that chisel in God's hand. It's a sovereign hand. That's the reason we need to embrace it, because the hand of God is sovereign. He knows you and I, and He knows what we need, and He knows how we're made. Number five, he or she knows just which button to push at the worst time to push it. Those are all indications that we're believing lies from the enemy. It's not true. Yeah, John 16:33 says that in this world you're going to have trouble. John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulation or trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, Jesus said. He has overcome all these things, and He's wanting to equip us to do that. So as we consider the lies that we sometimes believe in marriage, or we're tempted to believe, at the very least, acknowledge the truth. The truth is, there's two things that are very true and real. Is Satan, number one, Satan has your marriage on his radar and he wants to mess it up. Or you could say, not me. Nope, that won't be me. 1 Corinthians 10:12, beware when you think you stand, lest you fall. So just remember that we're in a battle, we're in a warfare, and Satan has his radar on your marriage. And number two, your spouse is human, and so are you. So there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be things to work through at times. But it's all in what you do, how I respond when I face a difficulty with my wife or with, your spouse, I should say. I remember a wedding we went to in Canada. And that, by the way, that's kind of a thing of the past in the at least near future here. Canada border was supposed to open on the 21st, and I heard it just got pushed out indefinitely. And those brothers up there, they don't have it quite as nice as we do here. They can only meet, I think it's still 10 people at a time, so they're having 3 services on a Sunday so they can get more people in a service. And so they're facing difficulty. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying is Brother Henry, once he had a message, I went up there for a wedding, and he had the message, and he looked at this couple, and he said, you are marrying a sinner, and she's marrying a sinner, back and forth. And it just kind of shocked some people. Yes, we believe in victory over sin as a Christian, but yet what we're talking about here is the human element of being able to fall into sin. Being able to respond wrongly when approached. When I was a young man, I worked at a pallet shop, and I was working on a saw cutting some lumber, some cants. They're about 12 inches wide and about 3 inches thick, cutting these pieces, and then I would take them off and I would lean them over against the wall, and then we would run them through the gang rip later. But one day, as I was cutting these cants about 4 foot long, I had leaned one up against the wall, and I started walking away, and at that time, somehow I didn't have it right, but it started falling. And as it came around, it fell and hit me right behind my heel, on top of my heel, which is a pressure point, some of you might know. And that hit me, and I just started I literally almost passed out. It was very close. And I was like, what hit me, And I think, oh, that was myself. So I couldn't get mad at anybody in my unconverted state. But that's what I'm talking about with marriages. When your husband or wife does something that challenges you, just remember, it's yourself. He's part of you or he's part of her. And so a good marriage takes a lot of sacrifice. Casting down of imaginations and high things that want to exalt themselves above the wisdom of God. 2 Corinthians 10. Marriage is, it could be said this morning that marriage is sometimes hard. But I believe this morning that divorce is much harder. It says in Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. And so 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This morning we can see that God's heart is that we cast down those things that want to trouble a relationship at times. as we consider that this morning, you know, I'd like for us to, there's four points here that I would like to share at this time about, you know, how to acknowledge the truth and have a beautiful marriage, have a God-honoring, Christ-honoring marriage. You know, pray for God's protection on your marriage. That's the number one. And put God first. Number two is work on your relationship. You know, love is spelled a four-letter word, give. It means to give. To give yourself, give your life, give, you know, give up yourself for your spouse. You know, I heard a man say one time about an old man that died. He was in his 80s, and he said he married his wife many years before, and he said the reason he married her, because he wanted somebody to love. You know, a lot of times we go into marriage thinking that he or she's going to love me, and that does happen, praise God, but the point, going into the marriage, I need to recognize I'm going to love that person, just like my wife. I got to come into marriage thinking I'm going to give to her. I'm going to bless her. And then it works out. But if I go in expecting she's going to please me, she's going to do all this stuff for me, it doesn't work out. It's selfish. Work on your own needs first, number three, and be a good listener. You know, that's something that I fail at times. Sometimes I'm not a good listener. My wife talks. But it is important to be a good listener. There's a lot happens when you listen. It's very, very important. Number four, pray for your spouse every day by name. And think before you speak. You know, sometimes we can be careless in our wording and how we share things. But just think before I speak. Think this is part of me, and I don't want to hurt myself, and I want to bless my wife or my husband. Number four is make conflict a trigger to remind you to engage in prayer. You know, when you think, okay, I'm facing this difficulty, it's getting kind of tough, it's getting kind of crazy, I need to just remember, engage in prayer and love unconditionally as a husband and wife. Focus on the solutions and not the problems, and allow God to work. Allow God to work in your life. In Malachi verse 2, chapter 2, verse 16, God has some strong words in there regarding marriage. And so I just thought I would share that. It says, God hateth putting away. Basically, divorce. He hates it. But we need to recognize when God hates something, then we should also hate it. And we should also, you know, strive to do His will, recognizing we won't find blessings by going against His will. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. In part of Hebrews 4:12, the next verse talks about everything is open and naked before God. So there's no secrets in marriage. You can't have secrets in marriage. A few other things that I thought of that we hear at times where there's difficulty in marriages is we often hear, and even in families, and I think this includes the adult children, I often hear that he or she will not admit when they have done wrong. It's always just somehow weave around it, but never openly confess, I have done wrong. Forgive me my wrong. Forgive me the sin that I have committed. Very foundational in a marriage relationship. Be quick to admit that you've done wrong. Ephesians says, study your wife. Dwell with her according to knowledge. You know, it's a science, or it's basically, you know, you need to study her behavior. Just study everything about her, how you can dwell better with your wife. And if we do that, it is a blessing. If we study how we can dwell according to knowledge, as we're instructed in the Word of God. So Daniel, you need to dwell with Bonnie according to knowledge. And you need to study her. How can you lead her as your wife? How can you bless her and lead your children? Dwelling according to knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am becoming as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and even though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You know, that charity is active and it's sacrificial. And this especially applies in marriage. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers a long time and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and it's not puffed up. You know, when we have an air about us or a prideful air, it's a major stench to the heart of God and to others. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. It doesn't keep record. You know, there's times when the flesh, we want to keep record of what was done wrong. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. But now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So fill your marriage with charity. Daniel and Bonnie. It will be a blessing. It will be a like an olive plant around your home. Mark chapter 10. As we draw near to the ceremony here in a few minutes here, why will I have you come up? But I want to read this passage here. Verse 2 of Mark chapter 10. And the Pharisees came to him, Jesus, and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote these precepts. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one. There's a oneness there that is God ordained. It's a covenant-keeping God that does that work. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And so I just wanted to, moving forward here, if you, Daniel and Bonnie, you wanted to come forward at this time and stand here, and I have two questions for you, and then we will do the ceremony. You want to kind of stand right here, maybe Daniel on this side like this, kind of face each other right up here if you would like to stand like that. Okay. Can you testify this morning that you are free from all other relationships, marriage relationships?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you also testify that you believe the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 10 here, where he says, What God has joined together, let not man put asunder?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, you may join your hands and share your vows. You want me to hold those for you? I'll hold them for you. If you guys want to join hands, your hands. We'll go with Daniel first here. So.
Bonnie, on July 12, 2003, I made a vow to love and to support you in sickness and health through the good and bad times, with love, patience, long-suffering, and forgiveness. I want to continue in this commitment with you till God calls us home, until then to grow together in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Daniel, I have loved the strength that you have shown me through the years, through all the trials and the mistakes that I have made since we have been apart. And I want to commit to you now through the grace and the strength of our Lord Jesus that I will forever be by your side as the Lord give me time to be with you. For you have shown me the true love of God through your word, through the strength of the scriptures in the Bible, through your prayers, through your unending patience of being by my side through all my mistakes. I hope, through God, I wish and commit to you that I will do the same as the Lord continues to lead me as your wife until the end.
Amen. Daniel and Bonnie, with the authority from the Word of God that I just read about, the God, you know, he was the father of Isaac, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's a true father. He will be a true father in your marriage. With him as your authority, and also the power vested to me from the state of Indiana, I pronounce you husband and wife. Praise God. You want to kneel? Maybe we'll have prayer together. I'll pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this covenant and this vow that we have just witnessed here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your power, your blessing, and your will upon their lives. Oh, I pray for Daniel that you would give him the desire to continue to lead his wife and to put you first and to bring his family along. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would give him great peace today, because I believe he wants to do your will. Sometimes if we look back, Lord, we get a little fearful, but we're praying in faith today that you would bless Daniel and Bonnie. I pray that you would encourage them and guide them through the troubles of life. I pray for Bonnie. Lord, help her to submit to Daniel as is fitting in the Lord, and that you would give her a heart to be a mother to the children. And yes, those difficult things that they've experienced, I pray that they would just be stronger in spite of it. That all the grass that the locusts have eaten, all the leeks and onions that have been eaten, I pray that you would restore them, Lord, fourfold. And I pray, Lord, that you would just do a mighty work, Lord, in their hearts and lives. I think of Melissa and Christina this afternoon, or this morning as well. Lord, bless them as they go forward. Lord, we know that the time is short. There'll soon be a wedding in the air, and we will no longer be here. But we know until then, help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to be faithful in the little things and in the big things, in all the areas that you show us. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would especially give Daniel and Bonnie a keen sense of your voice in the coming days and years. Lord, shield them from the fiery darts of the wicked one, Lord. I pray that they could put on the shoes, the gospel shoes, and the helmet of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And I pray that you would equip them, Lord, to stand against, having done all to stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. And so I just want to bless them today. You know, that road back is not well traveled. We know the road into the world is highly traveled. It's a 6-lane highway. But that road back to God is a narrow footpath. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Scripture says. But I pray for your graces to be upon them and your wisdom and strength in the coming days. We love you. And we thank you for this miracle that we have before us today, and ask that you would multiply it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Martin. Praise God. Praise God.
Glory, great things he has done. So lovely the world that he gave us his son.